Hello again, church. Thank you, Emma and Nigel, for worship. I just want to bring you an update on Stephen. I have a photograph of him here. He's in Norwich. He's got his Norwich City football kit on, which he's very proud of. And I managed to get him out of bed last week and we went for a walk. There he is, sporting his new coat. So Stephen, some of you may remember Rachel and Stephen. They came to church, Stephen occasionally, but Rachel regularly before she sadly passed away. Stephen's in a mental health hospital, Helston, in Norwich. And we believe that he's on the road to recovery. So that's good news, isn't it? That is good news. I had the opportunity as well this week to knock on one or two doors just to check to see if people are okay. And most people are. It's a strange time, and obviously some of us, we can't mix with others, and especially with this new 6 lockdown. Some families have 6 or more in their family on their own. So we trust that you will continue to be blessed and you will be that blessing to those around you. So we do pray that you'll be safe. Just to say, there is an AGM that we can't have in person. We'll just send information out maybe at the end of the month, just to give you an overall view of what's been happening in church financially, and any information that we may have that we feel you need to know about, we will inform you about that. Jeffrey's still in care. Sonia's not able to see him, and that's quite a difficult situation, so continue to lift Sonia up. Had a chat with Judy, and her mother, who has cancer, is doing well considering she's able to get out, and Judy's doing fine as well. And others, Julian is still the chilled Julian that he always is. So please give us a ring if there's anything we can do as family. We want to walk with you and support you. I just want to go forward a bit with what we were saying last week. And in 2 Kings 6:16, I read this statement out. "Do not be afraid," the prophet answered. The man of God said, "Don't be afraid," to a servant who was afraid at that time. "Those who are with us are more than those that are with them." Now we're talking about, we sing the songs and we say we are on the Lord's side. Now Christ is coming back for a victorious bride. That's you and me, that's Christians, followers of Christ. He's coming back for a victorious bride. But in the meantime, we need to live the lives that God has given us. And there are times I suggest that we can be a bit fearful about the things that are around us and the unknown. But God's word has already told us what's going to happen. We mentioned that last week. In this particular psalm that I want to read to us today, and it's a long psalm, I just want to pick one verse out, verse 18, before we start. Verse 18 in Psalm 119 says this: "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law." What a thing to pray. And when I read that, it gave me the opportunity to read all of Psalm 119. And there's 22 sections. They're called stanzas, but they're just literally sections of 8 verses. Per section, 8 verses per stanza. There's 22 of them, and it represents the Hebrew alphabet. And each stanza, each section, start with a different letter of the alphabet. And it's poetry. It's designed in such a way, I believe, and many commentators say, to give those that are reading this an opportunity to learn it, to remember it. It's like the ABC of the psalm. And like I say, each section starts with a letter of the alphabet. This psalm speaks about God and God's word. It's as simple as that. But it uses different words to articulate God's word, whether it's a spoken word or the written word or the revelation through his word. It talks about the law. And that word, the law, just means the Torah. And there's 25 times it speaks about the Torah, the law. Then there's the word, the dama, the spoken word, 24 times. His judgments, 23 times. His testimonies, the witness of God, 23 times. His commandments, the to-do commandments, 22 times. His statutes, that's his authority, 21 times. His precepts, the go and do, 21 times. And then another word for word, a general word for word. So we have God's written word, God's spoken word. So all the times we hear those words, it's talking about God and his word. So when we read this portion of scripture, I want us to remember that everything that we need, everything that you need is written in his word. And there's one or two things that jump out at me, and hopefully they'll jump out of you, but I just want to simply read God's word to us. I've looked through this all week, and I've referenced it and cross-referenced it. I've looked to see what the commentators say is the meaning of that particular passage. And then when you digest all of that, you simply come to the conclusion that it's God's word, that God is speaking. The psalmist is putting down on paper for us what they have seen and what they have heard of God and his word. In verse 1 it says this: blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless. That doesn't mean that the psalmist is saying that those that are blameless do nothing wrong. It's talking about those that walk according to God's law, according to the Torah, those that are walking in a way to please God. So in verse 2 it says this: blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Blessed those that keep the word of God, those that wrestle with the word of God, those that keep the word of God close to them, those that wake up knowing the word of God, going to sleep knowing the word of God. The word of God is written down for me and you. How blessed are we? And the psalmist is saying, blessed are those who keep his statutes, who understand his authority. See, there is an authority in this world, but it's nothing in comparison to the authority of God. And God has already breathed into us, his people. He's already given us. Jesus said this, didn't he? He said, all power and authority is given to me, meaning himself. Now go. Now go, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Go, make disciples of all people. Go. And when Jesus was saying go, it was a sentence on the back of the first statement. All authority has been given to me. Now you go with my authority. So blessed are those who keep his statutes, who understands his authority and seek him with all their heart. We have an opportunity to seek after God, don't we? And it's a struggle sometimes to get into a routine when that routine is disturbed or upset. So for me, for many, many years, I've been used to getting up on a Sunday, getting myself ready, and Susan and I get in the car and we go to church. Go to a building where we meet with others of like mind, where we can share God's goodness, where we can bring his testimony, where we can share his hospitality, where we can see the demonstration of his power, where everything that this psalm talks about, that we can see in that one room. Why? Because we're being gathered and surrounded by all of you, who each has a testimony, each has a precept that they understand, each can have a revelation of God's Torah, God's word, his Old Testament and his New Testament. So when we come together, we see that demonstration of his power, don't we? But we're isolated in some way at the moment, isolated by the four walls that God has blessed us with. But we can speak to one another this way. I have an opportunity to come into your home. Thank you for inviting me. You have an opportunity to dig deeper into God's word. And when we do meet together, the things that we've been speaking about will all make more sense. All make more sense. Verse 3, it says this: they do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. My ways were steadfast. Strengthen me, Lord. In verse 6, then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. Not just some of God's commands, but all of God's commands. When we look through Scripture, let's just take the Ten Commandments, because that's probably the most familiar to us. When we take the Ten Commandments, there's some of those that we find very, really, really, really easy. Well, this is a simple instruction, a simple command to follow. And then there may be others on that list that may be slightly more difficult. But they're all as powerful as each other. They're all as significant as each other. They make the singular. You put those all together and they make the whole. That's where the power comes. And it says this: when I consider all your commands, do not put me to shame. In verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. The psalmist is saying that when I gain understanding about what it is you're saying through your word, when I understand who you are, Father God, I will praise you with an upright heart. I can come before you in boldness, in other words. That's me and you as his church. When we look through this psalm, it may be the longest passage in the Bible, but it talks about nothing else but God's word, him and his word. Everything that we need is in his word. In verse 8, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. In verse 9, it's the first section of the second stanza. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Now, most translations will say, how can a young man stay on the path of purity? If you're a young man, you are going to have challenges in life. If you're a young person, a young woman, you're going to have challenges in life. But when we look at what God puts on the shoulders of his people, you will see that that weight is not going to be too heavy if you follow his commandments, if you follow his statutes, if you learn from his word. So how can a young person stay on the path of purity? There's a question. Then straight after that question, there's an answer. And that's the thing about God's word. Just to remind us afresh, and whenever there's an answer, a question asked, God will always give us an answer. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see you afresh today. So how can a person stay on the path of purity? Let's put our name in there. How can we stay on the path of purity? Create in me a pure heart, O Lord. By living according to your word. And there's a simplicity of God's answer there, isn't it? How can a young person, or how can an individual, how can me and you stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. What does God say about this? In verse 10, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Lord, keep me on the path. Don't let me stray, Lord. So that means that the psalmist understood that there was a propensity, there was opportunities out there for him to stray. If there's no fence there to keep you in, then there's an opportunity to stray outside of the boundaries. So God says everything that I've created is good. And it's there to encourage and edify. All of my word will be good for instructing, correcting and rebuking. All of it. But you need to keep on the straight street. The Bible talks about wide and narrow. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your command. Maybe it's a prayer that we can pray this week. Lord, help me not to stray from your commands. In verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I carry it with me. And we carry God's word with us. When we became Christians, the Bible says that we've been born of his spirit, that the spirit of the living God comes and dwells within us. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And that's something worth understanding when you come up against hardship, when you come up against something negative, when you come up against something that seems to be too big. He that is in us, he that's in you, is greater than he that is in the world. Yes, we are more than conquerors, the Bible says. But we have the Spirit of the living God living in us, don't we? I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We don't just have the written word that we can keep close to us. We have the word, the Spirit of God. In verse 12, praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. As we read scripture, it talks about meditating, and the psalmist goes on and talks about meditating as well. It talks about declaring with our lips the laws of the Lord through our mouths, through our voices, as we sing, as we speak. So let me encourage you this week, whether you're at home with children or you're on your own, that we can lift up our voices, that a useful tool is worship, is praise. I praise you, O my Lord. O my soul sings for you. I long for you, O Lord. Father God, create in me a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit. Father God, help me to be the man, the woman, the individual you've called me to be. There are hymns out there that will help you to do that. Poetry through God's word. There's a lot of songwriters that used to use, and they still do, they take scripture and they put it to a tune. Grab hold of some of them old ones, as well as the new ones that you may sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace. We can use God's word to build ourselves up this week, can't we? Amen. In verse 14, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I, as a statement, I will, I do, I am who you say I am. Verse 15, I meditate on your precepts. I consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I meditate. And to meditate is simply to just continually think about what it is that God has spoken to you. So as we look through this psalm, I encourage you to read Psalm 119. There's a lot of verses in here. There's 22 stanzas, 22 sections, 8 verses in each section. So it's 100 and whatever it is, 76. There's a lot in there. But read through God's word. Use this psalm to see what God says about his law, what he says about his precepts, what he says about his decrees, what he says about his statutes, his precepts, his word, his judgments. Read this psalm and see what God says to you afresh today. And I challenge you not to be challenged. You will be, in other words. You will be challenged and you will be encouraged that yes, God has spoken to us as we open our eyes and we read and we open our hearts. So often God's word talks about being written on our hearts, our minds, our emotions. It's in us, it's living, it's breathing, it's active. His word is sharper than a two-edged sword. As we meditate on your precepts, we meditate on them, Lord. It's the go and do. God says, go and do this. And you will be blessed. Don't do that. And you'll. If you don't do that, you will be blessed. If you go and do that, you will be blessed. God's precepts, his words, his character. Let me encourage you afresh. Regardless to how old or young you are. These words are for you. Keep keeping on. God has put a hedge around us. Yes. But he's given us the free will to wander if we so want to. But like the shepherd gathers the sheep, that's what God does with me and you. Let's open our eyes afresh today and see what God is saying to us. It may just seem that I'm reading scripture, but scripture is the most important thing, isn't it? It's God's written word, his written revelation to us. But also, as we ponder on these things, God can speak to our hearts afresh and illuminate the things that we need for this day, for this week. Amen. Verse 17. Be good to your servant while I live. that I may obey your word. Obedience is better than sacrifice, isn't it? Obedience is better than sacrifice. It's easy sometimes, I think, to just sacrifice something, but it's far harder to be obedient. So when God says, I want you to do, and we go, yeah, well, we'll do that tomorrow. But when we sacrifice that time today, then we receive a greater blessing, I believe. And I'm challenged with this regularly, and Susan keeps me on my toes. She challenges me, and she should. And I'm challenged by God's word, because when we keep to the path, when we ask God to help us to live an obedient life, when we ask him to open our eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law, it says in verse 18, when God causes us to obey him by illuminating his word to us, then we grow. Because as we walk down this road, we should not get tired. We shouldn't get weary with well-doing. And sometimes we can get weary with well-doing. But God wants to strengthen us afresh. He wants to nourish us. And how do we get strength and nourishment? By eating and drinking of him. Jesus said, didn't he? I am the water of life. I am the bread of life. So the water that we need to hydrate us, the bread that we need to fill us and sustain us and strengthen us, is all in this word. And I'm just simply using this psalm, Psalm 119, this poetry, this long letter, if you like. And we're just using that just to speak to us afresh, to say as we open our eyes, we will not just see that there's more of us than there are of them. In other words, we're on the Lord's side. And when you read Revelation, you'll find out that God's people are on the winning side. Heaven bound, not destined for hell. But as we digest more of this, as we live more of this, and when we encounter others who are in need, we can share the bread that God's given us with them. Because it isn't about us being full and not worrying or caring about those around us. It's about us receiving so that we can give. And you may say to yourself at this time, but I don't see anybody. Well, you may see a neighbour. You may see the postman or the milkman, if we still have such a thing. You may see one or two people. And the way you look, the way you smile, the way you interact may be an opening to share God's goodness. So yes, there are going to be opportunities to share God's grace. So let's drink and eat afresh of his word. In verse 18, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. Let's see what you've written for me, Lord, that you put down years ago, that I may feed upon you. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see the wonderful things in your law. In verse 19, I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Let me see them, Lord. Let them be visible to me, Lord, that I may not be able to escape what it is you've commanded me to do. In verse 20, my soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all time. Lord, let me fall in love with you afresh. Verse 21, you rebuke the arrogant who are accused, those who stray from your commands. The psalmist understands that there are opportunities to stray. Let's come back. This is the wonderful truth about God's word. If we stray, or when we stray, God brings us back. If we choose to follow, what a wonderful message of grace and redemption that God gives us. Even as the psalmist writes, remove from me their scorn and contempt in 22, for I keep your statutes. Through rulers, though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Although there may be people in authority speaking lies about me, the psalmist said, I will meditate on your laws. I will meditate on your mandates. I will meditate on your decrees, that your Lord, the authority that you have, the commandments that you've given me, the testimonies that I can see and that I have in my own life, I can meditate on them, Lord, that I may be of good cheer. Amen. Verse 24, your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. When I read this verse in 24, this one I pondered on for quite a while, because when we think about counseling, there has been times in my life that I've sought out counsel, that there's things in my life that I shouldn't have had in my life, and there's struggles that I've had, and I've gone to godly men and women and asked for help. Can you counsel me through this? But let's just look at that word. Your statutes are my delight. Your statutes, your authority I delight in. They are my counselors. God's word will counsel me and you. When we look at the secular world that we have, what normally happens, and I haven't been to a secular counselor, so I don't know for sure, but I have heard, is you'll go into a room and there'll be a male or a female counselor with you. They will ask you to speak and tell you everything about everything. And then they'll start to dig deep and they'll say, well, how do you feel about this? How does that make you feel? Your childhood. And they'll start to dig up things from deep within that were once buried. And some things that God has said keep buried. But they'll dig them up as they get you to speak about you. God's counsel asks you to listen. There's a difference. So if you're going through a particular struggle at the moment and you think, I need somebody to walk with me, it's good to seek out godly counsel. And it's normally seek out people, men and women that are maturer, that have been through some of the things that the Bible talks about, that have been refined by the fire, that understand God's grace, that are not judgmental, but compassionate, but speak with the authority of God. It's good to meet together with those people to get a different perspective. But there comes a point that God, where God's word will counsel me and you. As we sit and listen to God speaking to us, God counsels us. Have you ever been in a position where you've needed the answer to a question? Oh, I need to know about X, Y, Z. And by the end of the week, after listening to a podcast or a sermon or reading your Bible or a worship song, you suddenly have the answer to the question. I know what I should do. God's told me what I should do. His word says that I should do this. His word says that I should forgive that person who offended me, that person who really hurt me. Why should they get away? Why should I forgive them? Oh, yes, God said, as you forgive, so I forgive you. As I pour out my grace on you, pour out your grace on others. Let the offense come to me. Let the burden be on my shoulders. So the psalmist understood something about the power of God's word. He understood something about the statutes, the precepts, the revelation, the commandments. He understood something about the word, the testimonies and the judgments of God. He understood the law, the Torah. He understood the commandments, as I said. He understood the ways of God. Your statutes, the power that you show us through your word, are my delight. They are my counselors. The things that you've done, the things that you say, the things that through revelation, by reading and meditating, there are counsellors. So if you're struggling with anything, and maybe you're the only person in your household that knows about this, and when you're on your own, you're not on your own. Bit of an oxymoron, isn't it? But when you're on your own, you're not on your own. Because if the word lives in you, then you're not on your own. As we sit and we meditate on the very thing that's causing us pain, the very thing that we're struggling with, and to he who it is, so let me just explain that. There are things in our lives that seem to be so trivial to other people. So we don't want to share them with them. It could be, I can't think of something that is silly at the moment, but it might be serious. So for me, when people offend me, and they do, when people speak all kinds of lies about me, and they have, and I'm sure you've experienced it yourself, I've wanted to do something about it. I've wanted to retaliate in a way which is public, because they publicly tried to humiliate me, they publicly lied about me, and I want to publicly put it right. But as I meditate on God's word, as I seek his counsel, his word tells me what to do. Vengeance belongs to me, says the Lord. Leave room for my wrath. Leave room for my judgment. Leave room for me to work in the heart of those individuals. So God's our counsellor. His word's our counsellor. So let me encourage you, whether it's something that's big or something that's small, if it's important to you, if it's causing you to lose sleep, if it's causing you to wrestle. I remember having a conversation with a dear sister, and I said something during one sermon, and this particular individual didn't quite understand what I said, and they had a conversation with me, and they said something to me, and then for that week they thought they'd have offended me. I couldn't even remember what it was they were supposed to have said to me, but they came to me the following week and said, "Pastor, I just need to know that you weren't offended by my comments." And I said, "Just remind me again," which indicates that there was no offence. And when they articulated what it was, I wanted to smile, but I didn't, because to them it was important. So I simply said, no. Just look at what you've said, and I dissected it, and it was a good thing to say. But sometimes when we speak, our own mind, our own makeup, our own capacity or lack of capacity, our own individual styles, sometimes we might have been told in our childhood or as we're growing up that we're always making trouble or we're always being difficult. So automatically that little voice in the back of your mind says, "Oh, I've offended," or "I'm the difficult one." No. Weigh it up with God's word. And if there's something that's troubling you, then take it to that person, like this individual with me. And that was it. And they went away with a big sigh. Okay, that's good. So do you see my point here? That's why when it says your commands, Lord, your statutes, your law, your word, are my delight. They are my counselors. So the word of God counsels us. And I want to spend a few moments there. And time is running away with us, and we're already on verse 24. But maybe I can leave it at verse 24, because it's worth just considering what God is saying to us here. Your statutes, your word. Just remember this psalm in all its stanzas, in all its sections, the poetry informing us, instructing us, encouraging us to look at God's word in a way that will keep his word close to us, that we will be a people that will walk forward knowing his power and authority, that he's our counsellor. Maybe that's one of the most important things we need to hear today, that God and his word counsels us. So you might not be able to get out. I'll leave you with this story. It's a true story. You don't know the man, so I can use his name. His name's Gerald. He may have died by now. He was elderly when we had this conversation. And I used to do work for him. And he looked at me one day and he said, "Andrew, I want what you've got." And me being me said, "Oh, what, debt?" He said, No, you've got peace." And I said, "How do you know I've got peace?" He said, "Because I can see it." And I said to this man, "You're not ready to hear what I have to say." He said, I am. I said, "No, you're not." As he was putting his golf clubs into the back of his car. And I said, "When you're ready, Gerald, ring me." Now, this man was a very wealthy man. He was a multi-millionaire. And some months later, Susan and I were living in the bungalow in Clenchwarton, where we are now. And he rang me up and he said, "Andrew, I need to come and see you." And he came to see me. And the breaking point for him wasn't the revelation that God is real. It wasn't a revelation that he was a sinner and he needed to be saved. It was the fact that his counsellor had died. The one person that he could sit on that couch or lay on that couch and say, "This is how I feel. What do you think I should do? The very person, the man that was telling him what to do all the time, had died. And now this man, Gerald, was stuck. He was panicking. And he came round, and I didn't have many words for him. All I said to him is, if you really want what I've got, then you need to pray to God and ask him for it. He asked me how he would do that. And we prayed together. Father God, forgive me for my sins. Lord, help me to see you, to know you, to understand your word. Come and speak into my heart. So my prayer for him was that he would look into God's word and God would be his counselor. See the point I'm making here? I could have given him all words of wisdom. We could have taken up an hour or two with me speaking and saying, well, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that and you need to repent for that and you need to walk away from that and you need to give to this. Or I could simply say, his word is your counsel. So we prayed. This man who couldn't switch off fell into a deep sleep. He woke up 2 hours later because he couldn't sleep. And it was a miracle in itself just to be able to sleep. He prayed the prayer. What he did with that prayer, I don't know. But Susan and I bought him a Bible. We gave him the word of God. And we sent him away saying that this is the counsel that you need. So maybe you're struggling today. Maybe you're struggled this week. Maybe you know someone that is struggling. Well, find a book of Psalms or find a passage of scripture that you can write out and you can give to that person that will encourage them, that will feed them, that will nurture them, that they will find counsel through God's word. Give them a New Testament. Let them look through the book of John and fall in love with Jesus Christ. God's word is our counsellors. God's word is our counsel. God's word is what we need to have and keep close to us today. Amen. Let's pray as we go into our Sunday. Let's pray that God will reveal more of himself to us. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever it is you're doing, you're not on your own. You're not on your own. Let me encourage you with that. God's word is close to you. Sing of his great love. As you start to look to heaven, as you start to sing and worship him, I guarantee you, the very things that you're asking God to answer, you will get the answer. Why? Because his word is true, and he's our counselor. Amen. Father God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, for your Psalms. Thank you, Father God, for the Old Testament and the New Testament. Thank you, Father God, for your written word and your rhema word. Speak to me afresh today, I pray, Lord, that I may be all that you've called me to be. Father, forgive me for any of my wrongdoings. Keep me on straight street, that I may find the things that you've called me to look for. That as I search out your word, you will illuminate the very thing I'm looking for. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.